Hi everyone, and welcome to our podcast called Two Scottish Birds. This is a comedy podcast about navigating life as a millennial female who is Scottish, and we're also single, so it features a little bit of that as well. My name's Felicity.
And I'm Megan.
So today's episode is all about navigating dating apps. Yeah, I feel like quite informed on this subject. I started on the apps when Tinder came about, which I think was like 2013, and since then I've been sporadically yet consistently on them, and I've been on them all. I think well, all the kind of the main mobile ones like Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, and OkCupid, some random ones like that. But I liked Bumble when it came out, not so much because of the kind of the girl talking kind of thing, which I know is why most people liked it, but I liked it because you could filter by star sign, and like I'm interested in star signs, and also by height, because I'm quite tall so as well, so that just made things a bit easier. What about you, Megan? What have you put your name to?
I must have started on apps when I was, 26 maybe? 25, 26. And I've had Tinder, Bumble and Hinge. I've not strayed out with that. Hinge is probably my preferred, but by and large, I kind of hate them all, and I'm like a serial deleter. So what happens is, like, boredom strikes me. I download them like on, I don't know, a Thursday night when I have nothing to do and I'm just at home like hugging my pillow. And then 2 days later, normally they're gone, because I realize quite quickly why I dislike them all over again. Yeah. And all that happens,
and then the cycle starts.
And Edinburgh's really small, so you pretty much just go around the same circles of people that nobody ever seems to want, myself included, kind of rematch with them like every 3 months, don't speak, and then the cycle continues.
I know, it's even much the same in London. You'd think that for being a city of 9 million that wouldn't be the case, mm-hmm. but for somehow it is. Somehow it's still the same people.
It's
even when I put my location like quite high, but yeah,
I don't know what that says about us all. It's like, are we like the database of undesirables? Like, I'm not really sure why none of us seem to disappear off these things, but I mean, at least you're not alone.
Yeah, I know, and I think it is kind of like you can kind of use it as an opportunity, like in the back in the MSN days, like when you wanted to talk to someone. So yeah, you signed out, send out, and signed in. Just keep re-downloading it.
I love the MSN generation. That means that would be me unintentionally. Like, really, I'm doing it because I'm bored, but I bet all these people think, God, she's so attention seeking. Every like month she just pops back up again as just joined, and they're all like, does she fuck just join? She's been here the whole time.
But we all do it though, everybody. I think that's the thing. Like, everybody like deletes it, and then like a few days later you're like, and I'm back.
I know.
So yeah, we're basically going to be talking in this podcast kind of all about our processes that we go through when we're trying to use these apps, and what's worked for us and what hasn't, and you know, where we think they're going, and our views really.
Yeah, and we're saying you should take all this advice with a pinch of salt, because evidently we're both still single, so there's no saying that our processes actually work.
Yeah, an absolute pinch of salt, because they're 100% not effective, as you say. But enjoy. Yeah. Okay, hi guys, welcome back. So we're trying to think about like what are we think best practices for like talking to people on these apps, and what works and what doesn't. I know kind of this has been like a 7-year learning experience for me. I feel like how I talk to people now on these apps is so different to how I used to, and my expectations are totally different. But like, I feel I've personally just had so many occasions where I thought I found the one on a dating app, and then I meet them for the first time and I'm like, no. And it's just a huge waste of your time. So I feel like, whereas before I'd be like pouring all my like heart and soul into talking to like Gav from the next town, like, and now I just, now I don't. And I guess what the process I go through is that, like, I want to find out if we have a bit of rapport, bit of bants, like when we're talking on the app, and then whether I think that I fancy them, and then obviously if we're astrologically compatible, those are the three things I want to make sure. And then I really just would want to meet up with them as soon as possible, just to, otherwise I just don't want to waste my time. I've just had to waste my time. I've wasted my time too many times.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. I think it's like such, that's, I think that's the thing I've probably picked up the most. And actually one of my friends gave me it as a first bit of advice when I joined the apps, and I wish I'd listened, because now it's the exact same thing I would say, is it's such an investment to like message someone kind of consistently all day, every day, and kind of exchange fucking like life stories, have a bit of banter. You think you get on so well, and then you meet and it just does not translate in person. And it actually then feels like you have a mini breakup, because like you almost get attached to someone. You've had them for a fortnight, 3 weeks, all this back and forth. Or if you're worse than me, like I actually have a friend who messaged someone for months before meeting them. I think it was like 5 months before they went on a date. And then when that disappears really quickly, when you both realize you're not interested, it actually does feel like a little mini heartbreak. Like someone's just kind of come in and out of your life. So I would always now abide by like meet as soon as possible, and I get quite irritated if it starts to really like drag on.
Yeah, I just feel quite conscious about the fact that they're a phantom in your phone. Like you don't really you don't really know them. And also it's important to know that like 90% of communication is non-verbal, so there's only so much that you can know. Like I definitely had a few occasions where I've got to know someone really well, and even on Skype, like I kind of got into something with someone who was in a different country twice, but in one of these occasions, like we were talking on Skype. It was back in the day, like 2014, whatever, like all these other VC, Zoom didn't exist. We would Skype and chat for like honestly like 4 hours. So but it was so strange. But then the minute like I kind of flew over there and met him, the minute he got out of the car, I was like, oh shit. And it's not like he I don't know, it's just the way that someone moves and smells and talks, and it's something to do with like biology and chemistry, like that attraction and stuff can come from that. It's there or it's not. And yeah, definitely the way that someone smells is certainly a thing. Like I was talking to a friend who has a biology PhD, and I kind of mentioned this, and she's like, it's absolutely a thing, and she talked me through the whole theory of it. So all these things you don't know, you can never know until you meet someone. So
I know. And like it's really easy to be charming over message. Like it's easy to have like witty back and forth over message when you're kind of in that like protected state, you're at home, like there's nothing really vulnerable feeling about it. And sometimes I think the conversation is just not there when you meet in person, and there's kind of no sort of wit and humor, and it all just feels a wee bit uncomfortable and awkward. And like I think, yeah, I've just experienced far too many dates that after our first date I'm like instantly like one drink in, I'm like, nope, this guy is not for me. And I have really thought he was like the one, had mapped our whole life, like saw the whole future, saw the holidays. I'm like, and now it's in the bin straight away. And I actually even got into like quite a long term thing where I matched with a guy on Bumble because he was up in Scotland for work, and we started talking, but then obviously he returned to England before we went on a date, so like I never met him. But then we kept chatting, ended up exchanging numbers, became like daily conversation, like we'd even FaceTime and stuff, and all for a person I've never met in the flesh. And then eventually months and months down the line, he got a girlfriend and we stopped talking, and that was just kind of the end of that. But I was like, this is really strange. I feel like I've had like a virtual best friend for like 8 months, and now I'm like, how the fuck do you get yourself in that situation? If dating apps weren't around, that sort of thing would not happen.
Yeah, I know, it's insane. I wonder if it's a bit of a rite of passage as well, because that has happened to me on you know, that same sort of scale as with a guy who lived in a different country. But then it also has happened another couple of times for a shorter time scales of people who have lived in the UK but haven't been able to get that first date for like a month or something. And yeah, I know it is weird, and it's weird how you can, yeah, get so attached to someone you've never met, to words on your screen. But
I know
it happens. I think everyone has to go through it to learn that that can happen, and just
not to get sucked in.
Yeah, exactly. So easy to happen. Easy, it happens easily.
So I want to know, we've done, obviously, talked about dating apps history, the ones we've got there. We know which ones we've both been on. I want to hear some of your best opening lines or worst opening lines you've had from guys over the years.
Gosh, I can't, like, I had a really good one. I remember my first, I ended up going out with someone like 5 years ago who I met on Tinder. I think before it became like, maybe it was like at the time when it became more of a like casual thing, but anyway, it turned into a relationship for us. And yeah, it was really funny. We were just roasting each other. I think the best matches I've ever had, we just instantly started slagging each other off. Like, I love that. I think that's crucial for like a good relationship, is having a good flirt to roast ratio. I've never had like a chat up line work. I did get like a really funny DM, which I know is not the same, but they did see me on a dating app, and then decided to message me. That was basically like a business contract that he kind of like talked through. It was amazing. I know it was definitely kind of copy and paste, but it was, I think, what about yourself?
I think I'm probably more versed in like really seedy ones. I get like, I've had like really creepy ones over the years, or ones that guys go straight in about sex, which is always like, for me, a massive turn off. And yeah, like, there's just no chance. I think there was one at Easter where a guy just like went straight in with like, in honor of Easter, we should be at it like rabbits. And I was like, ew, just open my mouth. Like, there was a guy who had a foot fetish, went straight in about asking me what size my feet were. And
oh my God.
Yeah. I'm sure that was on Tinder as well. I've had none on Bumble because girls had to talk first, which I hate, but yeah, nothing that was like CD straight away off Bumble. Had another guy ask me what kind of pants I had on Tinder as well, like straight off the bat, and I was like, come the fuck on. Like, as well, like, it's like lockdown, and it's like, I think I was driving to work that day to pick up IT stuff, and I'm like, it's like 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, like, what the fuck pants do you think I've got on? Like, I've genuinely, it's a regular day, I'm not I've got nothing special planned, I'm not on a night out, I'm not on a date, like, I'm obviously just wearing standard pants.
I know.
Nothing too exciting. They expect you to be like, yeah, I've got, you know, suspenders and a thong on. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah, guys are so, they're weird.
Detached from reality.
Yeah, I almost think it's also the way that some people behave on these apps is kind of like, they would never, if they met you in real life, they would never say those things.
Never say that.
It's like they're
face.
Hiding behind
that?
Their screens and can just like be absolute cowboys.
But I know, can you imagine like sitting down at a table ordering your first drink and just leaning in and being like, what kind of pants have you got on?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And they would never have the brass neck in like person.
It's also kind of like not, it's not effective. This is what makes me kind of like laugh and scoff. Like,
yeah,
like how many, like have you, how many girls have you actually like, is this been successful on? Like, they're kind of acting like they're, by being like that, they're acting like they're total Lotharios and, you know, fuck boys. But the actual fuck boys, they would, like, you've got no idea you're getting fucked by fuck boy until after. That's their style. Like, it's just not very effective. I need to clue up.
And have you ever actually had any effective opening lines? Have you ever made the move?
Yeah, I have. I've never been too like worried about that sort of thing. I've even slid into people's DMs like in the past. Yeah, I wouldn't maybe do that. I think actually the reason why is because I was just kind of a bit of a joker, and I was never really I don't think I was actually really wanting a relationship, like just wanting the validation or just wanting a funny screenshot. It's funny you talk about like, yeah, like funny opening lines, but one of the funniest things I think I collected, like while like using the dating apps, is any time like I saw someone with a funny name, like that was like, his name was I, his not first name I, last name Can, or like there was one friend was whose her first name was a Ramit, last name was my asshole. Or just like there was another guy who was called Karma. So I just would have these screenshots saved, and any time like there was an appropriate time, like when I was talking to the girls and like the group chat, that it was appropriate for me to say one of these words, or I would drop one in, like. So I kind of like accrued
content. I think the thing is, like, if I see one that seems to work for someone, what happens is like it filters through the app and you start to see it on everyone's profile. This is like the whole pineapple pizza debate. I swear, like, I see that, I've seen it on countless profiles now about like, let's make sure we're on the same page about pineapple pizza, or like people being raging about it, or like, if loving this is wrong, I don't want to be right, pineapple on pizza. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, get away with the pineapple on the pizza. And it just becomes really commonplace. It's the same as that one line about where guys on like Tinder or something will actually write in their bio like 6'2", I've heard that's important on here. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, every other profile says this.
Yeah, yeah. I'd also like competitive about everything, absolutely everything. Everything. I was like, get it, you're a man. what was I going to say? So it's funny you're talking about like pineapple and pizza, because that used to be my like Tinder profile like thing about 5 years ago. And I swear to God, like, what I'm trying to say is I think I invented that. Like, I invented that being a thing. Like, I was like, pineapple does not belong on pizza. It wasn't on anyone else's. Like, and also I remember back in the day, I used to sometimes change like preferences and kind of look at what girls were putting on theirs, because I wanted to see where I fit in
that
the market.
Market,
like,
research. Okay, hardcore.
I'm a marketer, right? Marketer. Anyway, and like no one else was doing it. And then like now it's massive. And I just kind of feel like I'm living in the Truman Show or something, and people are watching what I'm doing and it's seeping into my reality. But also on that note, the same with a selfie. I know you're just going to scoff at this, but I really think I invented it. I really think I invented the selfie. It was in like 2007, when we, like, it's a very long time ago, we had like digital cameras, and I was on a holiday in Lanzarote with my friends, and we, just kind of like, oh, I'm going to do a wee selfie, like, and we'd like turn the digital camera around and take a photo of ourselves, and no one else was doing it. And then I took it back to school, right, and then kind of people around my group started doing it, and then it was literally about a year later, like, I don't know, fucking the Kardashians and shit are doing it. I'm just kind of like, I'm pretty sure this started from my mouth to my school, worked its way around the world and got there. Like, the times like match
but
up.
But now,
like, I think I invented it.
If that's true, then I don't know whether to congratulate you or like totally scold you for like the horrendous selfie society that we now live in.
Tie it back to dating apps. Oh, I can't be doing with like a guy who's got a selfie on his profile. Like, there's a few occasions when it's okay, but like a mirror pic or a selfie, like, you want it to be taken by someone else. It's just something about, yeah.
I can slightly deal with it as long as it is not like shirtless, like no
Snapchat filtered,
like, no nudity, like no like mirror selfie with your top off. Absolutely not. Not while you're pouting or have a filter on, and not when you have like fucking dog ears or like whatever other animal faces exist. None of the above. Like, I'm just not about that, and I don't put any of them on of myself, just for reference there. Like, I'm not being a hypocrite. They don't exist on my profile, and I would not appreciate them on a guy's profile. Big turn off.
I know, there's so many turn-offs, like,
yeah, so many turn-offs.
So what do you think about kind of the pros and the cons and that of this way of dating? This is like a relatively new way of dating. Like, I don't know, I say it's been around for 7 years, but back in the day, for many years, like, this is not how people met other people romantically. You'd meet in the pub, you meet in, well, people still meet in work, but people, like, apparently would even come up to you on the street. And now that's not a thing. And the thing is, it makes it harder, I think, to meet people in real life, because people just assume they have, you know, the whole world available via these apps. So they're like, why would I put myself into that, like, embarrassing situation when I can, like, just do it, like, at a safe place via my phone? As I was reading, like, this book by Matthew Hussey, big relationship expert. And he was talking about that he doesn't really believe in dating apps, and he's saying that in order to meet people, you need to kind of, first of all, it was the worst book to be reading during the pandemic, because none of his like recommendations can be actioned. And he was saying that you need to kind of build a lifestyle where you're meeting lots of people regularly. And I'm like, yeah, not gonna happen. And he's like, and kind of get into the habit of like saying hi to strangers, like, you know, like saying hi again to the person, start by talking to the person in the coffee shop, and then maybe someone give yourself a task of complimenting one person a day. And I just feel like, particularly in London,
that's not welcome
across the whole of the UK. But I mean, like, people think you're crazy because, like, pretty much the people who do talk to you are crazy. And some, yeah, I don't know how we could go back.
How we get out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But I do. Because I feel like the apps were probably invented because someone thought this made it easier to meet people. Like, they probably were invented to be like, let's introduce more people to people. And surely that way it like widens everyone's dating pool and it makes it easier for people to find each other. I think that's probably what was the intention behind these. But then I kind of feel like the only pro, like to me, the only pro is that it does widen your reach. And I've definitely gone on dates with people I would never have come across in like my daily life, like either by area or like we just don't frequent the same places, like we don't know anyone in common. Like, so I would say the only pro is like it amplifies your reach, but like for me the cons are just ridiculous, which are it's made everyone so nervous of like face-to-face rejection that now no one does approach anyone in person, which is a shame, because if I ever remember like guys I met when I was younger or people I've had real like instant chemistry with, it's been in things like a bar on a night out, and when people kind of did, maybe in my early 20s, still did kind of approach people. Fair enough, you had a drink or two in you, which helped, but that was always when off the bat you kind of knew you were attracted to someone. So that at least like removes that element, whereas on a dating app you don't know that until you go on your first date and you've already exchanged like so much information. So in person it's an instant thing, and then you know you want to pursue it because you're like, well, I know I fancied them, or I know I wanted something to happen. So that's like the biggest con, I think, because I think it's eliminated our ability to actually connect in person. Like, and it's like meeting new people, talking to new people, all that stuff, because we're all addicted to our phones most of the time.
Yeah, also kind of it sets you up for rejection. Like, if you go on a dating app date, somebody's going to get rejected, mm-hmm. ultimately, unless it goes any further, whereas that never would have been a thing. Say maybe you're in a club or something, or in a pub, and someone like moved to another mm-hmm. person, like you could just, I don't know, you wouldn't necessarily be rejected, you just get a vibe if they were into it or they weren't, and then if they weren't, you'd just be like, okay, it wasn't like I'm sorry, it's just I don't feel anything between us, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah,
like I'm not after going on a date with like someone, one person, it's quite strange to, yeah,
it's all very strange. And like in a weird way as well, like whilst it amplifies your reach, it also amplifies your competition, because like I think now what I've realized is people have such an expectation of like a first date. For me, I'm like really basic in the sense of, it's actually because I've just been on so many, I don't really believe in the whole spark thing to a degree. Like, people tend to grow on me and I'm aware of that. So my expectation for a first date is like, do we get on? Like, do we have a bit of a laugh? Do we have enough to talk about in the fact that we're both interested in the other one and what they have to say? And do I find you physically attractive enough that I would like to see you again? That's just like my markers. But I think people literally expect fireworks, like flowers to blossom, like red carpets to roll out. And if that doesn't happen on a first date, they're just like, sorry, I just really didn't feel it. And I'm like, what do you expect to feel for a stranger that you've just met, when you probably were feeling horrendously anxious and nervous walking in the door in the first place? I think the expectation is crazy now because there's so many people on offer.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like, yeah, people's standards are so high because they think they have so much choice. But they really, like, they don't, because, and I know there's many different kinds of people out there, but there's nobody's perfect. Everybody's got, like, a good side, good traits and bad traits and stuff. And to an extent, like, I think that, say, if we didn't have, like, these dating apps, and, you know, previously, what is good is it exposes you to lots of different kinds of people. Yeah. You meet lots of different kinds of people, different cultures, blah blah blah. But like, if we didn't have that, then we would just, the only people we would be able to access would be kind of in our communities, and then there would be people who we probably have seen or spoke to on nights out. We'd be like, nah, yeah, not for us, because we think we're fucking entitled to like all these babes or whatever that are on them, these apps that we probably will never even meet, and even if we do meet, they might probably won't match up to whatever story they're trying to weave on their profile. That means that you're kind of missing out on connections with people who are, like, you know, would have been like a good match in many ways.
I know.
So,
and it's funny, like, you say like story on their profile, because that's actually exactly what happens, and that's why these dates are often disappointments. Because, like, I think when you speak for 2 weeks to someone having never met them, you do build up a story and like an image in your head of how they are, like, and what they're like, and then when you meet them and that's not the case, I think it's a weird, like, disappointment and like deflation. Whereas when you've met someone on a night out, it's been instant. You've not had time to build up a story about them because you had no fucking idea you were going to meet them in the first place.
Yeah, it's funny you bring this up, because this is actually, I remember, is one of the reasons why I deleted my Hinge app very recently. Is I was just kind of like looking back over different relationships and stuff, and I realized that probably the most compatible people that I've met, I've not met on an app, and there's been very few of them, because most of my dating has been like through apps and stuff over the last however many years. And what I realized is that I'll be presenting a kind of version of myself on these apps, these like filtered photos with like really curated answers and stuff, and then I'll have to show up on a date and try to be that person. So I'm trying to, like, and you just feel like you want to, because it's so competitive, like the dating apps, and you feel and it's very performative as well. You have to perform up to this ideal person that you've created on your app, and then take that person to the date, and at the same time you're like highly judging the other person. And I just feel like it makes it really difficult to be yourself. And the whole point of being in a relationship is because you're supposed to be able to show your authentic self to someone else wholly. And a lot of my, I think, issues with people who I've dated, who I've met on apps, is that I've actually found it quite hard to like stop performing in that way and just genuinely be who I am. And like, it's just made it just hard to, I just, it's something that's found it hard to get past. And I feel like if I met someone, you know, I went relaxed with friends and stuff, you'd just be your natural kind of relaxed self, and you'd be able to more, you know, attract people to yourself, and then it wouldn't always have to feel so, yeah, performative is the word.
So you can tell we're both heavily on the con side of things.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, I've deleted it, but I do think I'll be back for sure.
I currently deleted all of mine, but we're about to go into another 3-week lockdown in January, so I'm not making any promises here. This could be my only chance for entertainment remote excitement here.
Exactly, and it's the only way to really move forward in your life like that. And because the issue is, like, we're in a pandemic, when you deleted the apps you end up going backwards, which means it's the exes. And I've reached out to someone since I've deleted it, that I wouldn't have, I'm sure, if I had had my apps and yeah, so you know, you got to do what you got to do to get through these times.
I know, it's a grim situation. What do you think it's going to look like in another kind of 5 years? Do you think anyone will be actually having actual conversations in person at all, or do you think it'll be everyone's just like in love with AI?
Yeah, like hologram meeting.
Was it that movie Her, where the guy's in love with his phone?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think it's going to become more niche, like niche apps and stuff for different kind of groups
and
interests and stuff. Like I did actually joke, see, back in the day, I used to be quite into rugby players.
I was gonna say, and then I kind of joked, rugby. I was waiting on the second word because I was like, where are you?
Yeah, and I was like, players. Dick. joking. I said back then, like, how good would it be if there was just a rugby a Tinder for rugby guys, because I felt like I was doing a whole lot of less swiping when there's only one genre of people I was interested in at the time. And I think that actually will like come into fruition in maybe not rugder, but I think more like specific dating apps. Obviously when I make the star sign one, That'll be one.
It's interesting because actually that was like one of my most successful like opening lines with a person was a joke I made about my horoscope.
Oh, did you? I'm so proud.
And I actually was really drunk when I sent it, and I thought this is going to go one of two ways. He's either going to think I'm crazy, or he's going to think, well, she's quite funny. And thankfully it was like the latter. But I mean, I was like pretty off my face, to be honest. I'd have like a litre of wine, so
that's a lot of wine.
And then I just thought it was going to be hilarious regardless, for like, even if you thought I was mental, like I was with one of my girlfriends and I was like, this is just funny.
Yeah, you gotta shoot your shot. Yeah, be different.
Definitely.
Well, I just earlier on I was talking about kind of my process that I go through when I kind of match someone, and I talked about when I would work out what their star sign is. So I had a friend who messaged me. She had she hadn't been on Hinge ever, and she kind of had a wee bit out of the. She had been with someone, whoever, she'd had some time out of the dating scene, and she kind of sent me a message asking me, like, you know, what my process is for going on dates, like on Hinge dates, because she was just got it and she was talking to people, but she didn't know like what to do next. So I've obviously like I've been on these apps for a long time, so I sent her through a list of my system, my process, because that's what she asked for, my system. So I'll just read it out to you. That my system from Hinge match to date: 1, we match; 2, I research fuck out of them, all channels, Google search, YouTube; 3, we talk; 4, I decide they're the one; 5, if they're private, we may add each other on social; 6, I deep dive on the research, work out their date of birth and calculate their birth chart to determine just how scientifically compatible we are; 7, at this point I know everything about them and I'm walking around imagining that I'm married to them in my head; 8, we agree to meet up; 9, by the time we meet up, I either am over it because in my head we've been through a whole marriage and divorce by now, or there's something that puts me off them, like their shoes or shit, and we never speak again. And I feel like that just really does sum up most of my experiences.
It does, yeah. Have we like lived with you through these processes?
Yeah. So yeah, I don't. To sum up, I don't think they're that effective. Like I've been on so many dates and a lot of them have been a waste of my time. To be honest, I've learned how to manage that so that I don't waste too much time until like the first date. But at the same time, unfortunately, I don't think that they're. I don't think we're going to go back to being able to meet people in real life in the same way.
I know. I wish that we would, but I agree. I think people are too comfortable with the kind of lack of face-to-face rejection. I don't think it'll go back the way, but I really hope it does. And it's interesting because actually, even when I speak to guys, we all have this same opinion, which then baffles me why we're all still on the apps, because like they all have the same feedback. Like they've been catfished, they don't like the apps, like all this stuff. And I'm like, well, then why are we all still on it if we all feel this way? Because no one's willing to kind of shift for one reason or another. But yeah, I think your process is a bit more thorough than me. I'm always like match, a little bit of chat, meet as soon as physically possible, because I don't want to drag out the conversation into like life stories to then just know. But I've already planned in my head that it's going to be a pointless date and I'm not going to like them. So I'm like, let's get it over and done with, like through the door, and then we'll just go on to the next one. I feel like I've fulfilled my quota.
Yeah.
Like I can tell myself, well, you're still trying, but are you really? And then that's kind of me. I really keep everything segregated. So like I don't add on social. I don't do any of that in advance of the date, because I hate the whole, I'm quite like a clear cut afterwards if I don't like someone. Like if I don't like you, your number is getting deleted, and like I would unfollow you on social if like we did have each other. So I try and avoid all that before the first date. I even try not to exchange numbers and stuff until well after. But
I honestly think that can't be like the thing that's so important. I've definitely fallen down by doing that, because you're wanting to fill in the gaps. If you're talking to someone and you like them, like the brain likes finishing stories, like mm-hmm. and so you're just kind of filling in the gaps, trying to kind of paint what kind of person this is. And then you kind of go on the social media and you like see a couple of videos of them or like a picture, and you get an idea that isn't actually true. And really you want all of the information that you can gather about this person to come from them, and not look too much into what you can like find, because it's totally curated.
Yeah,
and
it's like especially important if you are like a skeptic, like me. Like my version of trying to manage that side of my brain is to limit the information that I'm able to access. So that's why I'm like, don't follow them on social, don't have them on anything. Like basically just remove it from being able to see it. Because I will invent entire stories in my head about why I shouldn't kind of get involved with someone in the first place, like before I've even met them. So I'll be like, well, they're obviously still seeing someone, or they're, you know, still with their girlfriend, and this is just like an excess thing. Like I can go down a very deep rabbit hole very quickly about all this like whole made up life that they possess.
100%, me too.
So yes, it's definitely wise for me to like limit what's on like availability for me.
It puts you in a tricky situation as well, because you have too much information on them that you can't really tell them. And then they'll be like, oh yeah, like I was at like Christmas, or I was at like my auntie's the other day, and you're like, Auntie Joyce or Auntie Gail, like, you know, like, and then they're talking about their friends, and they're like, oh yeah, cool, as if I don't already know what they work as, come on.
I know, like, I actually,
sits inside,
I went on a date a few weeks ago, and we were maybe going to go on a second date, but then it was actually a really innocent creep. I didn't really mean to creep. But I went like onto his Instagram because we had a mutual contact, and he'd spoke about this mutual friend like in another way, not via Insta, but like spoke about her generally. And so then I went on to his Insta, which was public. So I'm like, that's not my fault, your Insta's public. then I went like into his, was it his followers or who he was following, to find this person. And in then the process, I found a guy that I went to uni with and I used to like hang out with when I lived in halls. He was friends with the guy that I was seeing. And I don't know what possessed me, but I messaged him being like, oh my God, do you know such and such? And I realized that I had no reason for knowing that information other than I'd been in his followers. And then beyond that, I then messaged one of my friends who I also went to uni with about this person's last name, because I was like, it's definitely him, right? And then also found out that another mutual friend had gone on a date with this guy like a week before as well. So then messaged me like, oh, you've also gone on a date with my friend such and such. I'm keeping names out of this here. And realised in the space of 10 minutes, I'd made myself look like a proper stalker. And I was just like, I'm going to retreat gracefully now.
That's the thing. Like the information is there. I know. So
it's so hard not to find now as well. Apparently we're now at a stage where it's not 6 degrees of separation, it's 3. Because of like the virtual world, it's you can connect people within 3 steps or less.
Yeah, it's frightening, especially in Edinburgh.